Now I want to introduce someone who's become a dear friend to me and to this church, Pastor Wayne Palmer. Pastor Wayne and his family began attending a couple years back. He and his wife, Holly, have been married over 48 years. You've probably seen her in some of our pre-service videos from the last year. Two of Wayne's grown children, Carl and Candace, along with her family, also attend our church. And prior to being a part of our church, Wayne was the pastor of Freedom Bible Church in Anaheim for almost 30 years, and he served faithfully in ministry for over 41 years. Wayne is still very active in the Coast Guard, and he's passionate about serving our country. On top of all this, man, the guy's a really great cook. Our staff's been the beneficiary of his amazing food many times in the last year. But today, Pastor Wayne Palmer has cooked up a spiritual meal for all of us to enjoy. So put your hands together right now for Pastor Wayne Palmer.
Good morning, City Church, and welcome. I'd also like to welcome those of you that are online. This is all kind of new to me, as I am not among the digital church variety. So I'm a little bit nervous, even with all the years and all the preaching and everything that I've done. I'm getting myself into a position to where I can have a good time with you, share a word with you. And as Kyle said, I've been married for 48 years to my beautiful wife, Holly. Stand up, Holly, so everybody can see you that don't know you. And I can say they've been 47 great years. I probably ruined one of those years, okay? So I have three children, Patrick, who lives in North Carolina, Candace, and Carl, who are both here someplace. I can't see because the light's right in my eyes, so forgive me for wearing a hat because I can't see if I don't. The glare off my head will just blind you. So I have six grandchildren, Bryn, who's in Pennsylvania, Hope's in Oklahoma, Amber's in North Carolina, and of course, Bradley, Julie, and Joanna here of Anaheim. I spent 6 years in the United States Marine Corps as a combat air crewman, serving in Vietnam. I also have two earned doctorate degrees, a PhD in church history and a doctorate in theology. I have been active in the ministry for almost 50 years, from junior church, worship leader, Sunday school teacher, assistant pastor, senior pastor. And in my career, I've started seven churches, five of which are still functioning. I'm now retired and wish to stay this way. Okay. So I'm currently the commander of the Orange County Coast Guard Auxiliary. I'm also in charge of the diversity in the auxiliary of Orange County. I am also the district lay leader chaplain of California District, which covers Southern California, Southern Nevada, Arizona, and parts of Utah. So they keep me pretty busy too. And as Kyle said, my hobbies are, besides the Coast Guard, are cooking. I love to hunt. I love to fish. I love riding my Harley Davidson motorcycle. My call is serving God to the best of my ability. And I like to think of myself as a little Dutch boy because I'm not afraid to put my finger in a hole in the dike if I see a problem. So I don't concern myself with a lot of other things. I don't want to run anything anymore. I don't want to be in charge of it. I've been doing that for too many years. I want to sit back. I want to love God. I want God to love on me, and I want to be able to help people. That's all I want to do. So that's me. Now this morning, we're going to talk about something that pertains to each and every one of us. It is our testimony. So to get us started today, I wish to ask you a question just before I pray. What do you think a testimony is? Think of what comes to your mind. And it usually comes in two forms. And just before we discuss this, let's go to God. Father, as we come to you, we just ask today that you would just open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to see, hear, and apply what you have for us, that we can grow in your nurture and your grace. Father, allow us today as we walk out of here to be one step closer to you than we were when we walked in. We love you and we thank you. I thank you for the body of believers that are here today. I thank you for those that are watching on TV. And I just ask, Lord, that you would just continue to bless us, guide us, and direct us, and help us through this pandemic. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I want you to know one of the reasons that I said I would preach today is not because it's Memorial Day and I'm a vet, but I did so because it was a day in church that I wouldn't have to wear this. Okay, I thought, oh, that sounds like religious freedom. So I jumped on it, okay? So that's kind of where we're at. Okay, now when you think of the two forms of testimony, I don't know that there's many here, but there might be a few that think of the testimony which is called court. Some of you may have been to court, some of you, and they give you this oath. Do you swear that this testimony that you are about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God. And in some states, they've dropped the so help you God, which is sad, to say the least. Similar to the move that they're trying to do with our Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. They're trying to drop God out of that, which is also sad because that's what we were established on as a nation. Then there's the testimony that's called a witness. When someone asks you a question about why you're so happy, nothing ever seems to bother you. How come? Do you have an answer for those questions? Well, in both areas, it requires a statement which is either formally written or spoken about the truth that lies within. In court is a functional information pertaining to an incident in which it is a factual account of what has changed your life and direction. It can contain specific events or summaries of events, situations, and or circumstances which God gave you victory. Now, this is a little bit troubling to us because you know what? Victory implies something. Victory implies that you went through a battle, that you've been through persecution, that you suffered distress, and you came out of it. So when we say, God, give me victory, we're saying, God, get me out of this mess that I got myself in. Not that he got you in it, but you got you in it. And we need to remember that when we deal with the testimony in our lives, that as we build ourselves and grow closer to the Lord, that we understand that the problems in the areas that we come into are created not so much by God, even though he allowed it, but they're created by us. And our worst enemy is us. We have to remember to be able to celebrate, we must first go through the difficulty. So when you say, all I want to do is live a victorious Christian life, all I can say to you is, that's awesome, buckle your seatbelt. Okay? Because you're going to get wet. You're going to go through the rapids. You're going to see some difficult times. But know this, that God's on the other side waiting for you. God's not only on the other side waiting for you, he's with you. You just can't see him because you're too busy concentrating on the difficulties that you're going through to know that he's there. You've all read the poem Footprints in the Sand, and you say, I was walking along the sand and everything was great, and I looked down and there was two sets of footprints. And then when things got difficult, it looked like God left me because there was only one set of footprints. But the situation was, is the reason there was only one, they were God's footprints. He picked you up and carried you through the trial. But you don't recognize that because you're too wrapped up personally, individually within your issues. You know, so you need to know that no matter what you're going through, even this pandemic, we will come out victorious. God is on our side. Many of you heard Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. Most memorize the first half of that verse, but they omit the second half. All things work together for the good to those who are following the calling and the leading of God. God works it out when you're doing it his way. He lets you go when you're doing it your way. He doesn't always lift you out of all the trials that you put yourself into immediately because he wants you to learn from this. Romans 8:31 says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? How many times have we forgotten that verse? How many times do we forget that God's always with us and God's going to deliver us? Why? Because we take our focus and eyes off of the Lord for just a brief moment, and we fixate them on ourselves and on our problems. So to get victory, we need to refocus. We need to understand that as a practicing Christian, we must realize that the world's against us. And the difference is the world, even though they may say they're our friends, they want nothing short of our destruction. They want to defeat us, and they want to tear us down. The goal of a Christian is to live a God-honoring life and to spend eternity with Him in glory. Now, know this truth, that the salvation experience in an individual's life is different in every case, as none of us got saved in the exact same way. Okay? I got saved after I came back from Vietnam. My uncle picked me up at the airport. I didn't even know he knew I was coming back. I thought I'd kept it pretty secret. And he said the Lord told him that I was coming in. I says, okay. I wasn't a Christian then, so I just kind of tongue-in-cheek, okay, uncle, I love you. You're 6'4", you weigh 322 pounds, and I'm not going to argue with you. So the Lord told you, the Lord told you. And he says, God delivered you. He says, you've been in combat, you've been in battle, you've done all these things, and God brought you back for a purpose. And he says, the first thing we need to do is get you saved. And I says, well, I thought God did save me. I'm here. He says, no, that's not the salvation I'm talking about. I'm talking about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, acknowledging Him as your Lord and Savior and knowing exactly what is going on. But the constant is that those who get saved do get saved through the same process. And that process is admitting you're a sinner, admitting you've fallen short, admitting that you need help, asking Jesus to help you to come into your life, and as Pastor Kyle says, give Him the steering wheel of your heart. Now, I have friends that tell me, I don't care who owns the car as long as I got the keys. Well, the keys aren't even that important. I want to know who's driving. Okay, I want to know who's driving the boat. You know, in the Coast Guard, I go out on a lot of Coast Guard vessels and do a lot of things. But the thing is I want to know who the coxswain is. I want to know who's driving. Can I trust him that he's not going to jeopardize me? And fortunately, I found a captain who can drive my boat. His name is Jesus Christ, and I can put all my faith and full, complete trust in him and not worry about where he's taking me or what I'm going to go through, because I know when it's all said and done, I'm going to come through it and I'm going to be here. I'm going to be able to do this. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. This is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ through good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This is the importance of a testimony, that we would walk in the words that God gives us. Now, that grace that God gives us is defined as unmerited favor. It is something that we do not deserve, but is granted to us by and through the love of God. You know, many of us sometimes don't realize how much God really loves us. We know Jesus died on a cross, but have you ever thought about what Jesus had to go through when he died on that cross? The pain, the agony, and the suffering. Why? Because of me. And you should be able to say the same thing, because of me. That's why Jesus died. If I would have been the only one on this earth, Jesus would have died for me because I needed a Savior. And it would have been worth it all, as far as he was concerned. Without salvation, there is no good testimony in the Lord. But once you get saved, the testimony is in. Before Christ was there, there was a testimony, but it brought no pleasure to anyone with any type of common sense. Now, I understand that in this day and age, common sense is not as common as it used to be. Okay? God has left us many types of testimonials in the Bible, and I'm going to mention a few of them through the Word of God. In Matthew 4, 23 and 25, Jesus was preaching the Word. Now, we're supposed to be Christians, so which means we're supposed to be Christ-like. So what does that mean? We're supposed to do things like Jesus did. Jesus preached the Word. Do you share the Word of God? Do you preach the Word? Do you put that testimony out? Jesus had victory over many things. In Mark 4, 4:36 to 41, Jesus spoke to nature. He calmed the sea with just his words. And it amazed his disciples. Luke 8, 22 to 25 speaks of the same situation. We have many conflict. And then the other thing we have that says about the power of God is his miraculous healings. You know, we have that throughout the New Testament. In Matthew 15, Jesus healed the lame, the blind, the dumb, and the maimed. I think, folks, we still need that today, don't we? I mean, I'm looking at politics today, and I mean, I can classify most of my politicians under all four of those categories. In Mark 7, Jesus restored the hearing and the speech of a deaf and dumb man. We have the same Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have testimonials of remembrance in Deuteronomy 16. God gave instructions to celebrate the Passover as a remembrance of what he did for the Jewish nation. Pastor Kyle just taught on that a while back. In Exodus 7 through Exodus 11, we have the plagues of Egypt. Folks, this stuff's still going on today. These things are still happening. God still has to come in and show his power because we as individuals, we as people are dumb enough that we can't learn from history and learn from previous mistakes. And those that don't learn from history are destined to relive history until you do get that victory. So we need to remember that. Deuteronomy 6, God gave us instructions to celebrate the Passover. 7, he did that. And then, of course, God gave us his attributes. Some have consolidated them into 5, while others have been more specific and have taken it even to the degree of 15. Okay? If you wish, you can probably extend that even farther. But we know in 1 Timothy, it tells us he's king. In Revelation 1, we hear that he's eternal, he's immortal, he's invisible. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. 1 Kings 18 says, he is the only just and wise and knowledgeable person who is able to perform judgment. So we have all types of things. John 1, he's the creator. In 2 Chronicles 16, he's omnipresent. In Revelation and Isaiah, he is omniscient. He is omnipotent in Revelation 9:16. He is the truth in John 14. He is holy in Isaiah 6. He is jealous. Let me say that again. He is jealous. Let me say it one more time. He is jealous, and he wants nothing put before him. Now, I don't want to offend people, but I'm going to say this anyway. He gets jealous of everything. If you put anything ahead of God, he'll get jealous. And trust me, when God gets jealous, there is a price to pay. There's always a price to pay for sin. And what else is he? He is unchanging. Malachi 3:6. Now we know that he's unchanging, but we also have conditions and situations in the Bible where we read where God had changed his mind. But understand that when he changed his mind, it didn't deviate from anything. Remember when Jonah went to Nineveh and he preached, repent or be destroyed, and the whole city repented? Well, guess what? 1,000 years later, they were back to the same old thing. Guess what happened? They got destroyed. God's word stays true from the beginning to the end. It's unchangeable. So if you don't stay true and follow through, you'll understand this. God healed me of cancer 18 years ago. I went to the doctor. I didn't tell my wife this, and she's going to be mad at me if I say this, so I'm going to say it anyway, because if I don't give her something to be mad at, she'll find something else, right? When I went in for the surgery, it was iffy on whether I was going to come out or not. I'm not going to get into the percentages and stuff, but I just felt at the time I was ready. I was at peace with God. I believed that God was going to take care of it. And when I went in, the doctors were all there, and we were all around the table, and as they're in there, going to take the tumor out. And it ended up being the size of a quarter-pound hot dog, really big thing. And they started to roll me in, and I said, stop. Who's praying here? Not one of my surgeons was a Christian. My anesthesiologist says, well, I'm Jewish. I said, same God, do it. Okay. So he literally, I had my anesthesiologist pray before we went in. And I went into the surgery, came out, and it was kind of funny because I had made an agreement with the doctor that if I come out with no complications, I'm going home after the surgery. I'm not going to recover in the hospital. So when I came out of the surgery, I looked up and the doctor was there, and I says, okay, doc, any complications? He says, no, you got the blue light special. You got two for the price of one. I took the tumor out, and I also fixed the double hernia that you didn't know you had. So I went, oh, thanks, doc. It was harder getting over the hernia than it was getting over the cancer. And I went home. Well, I had members of our church calling the hospital. And the hospital says, well, he's not here. He went home. Well, you know what going home means to a Christian? So anyway, I got to deal with that. So the next Wednesday, I had the surgery on a Monday. That Wednesday, I was in the pulpit. And we had a Wednesday night Bible study. And I stood up and I says, resurrected from the dead, me and Jesus. You know, and some of them were just shocked to even see me because I didn't bother to contact anybody. I said, no, I need to rest and heal. Now, included, going back to the message, included in these are God's love and God's mercy. Now, we know God's love fulfills the law. We know his mercy endures forever. And we got God's grace. And God's grace, according to Galatians 2, is sufficient for all our needs. Did you hear what I said there? It's sufficient for all our needs. So what does the testimony say? Have you ever really stopped to think about what your testimony says? When people see you, what do they think of you? What memorials have you set up in your life? Well, first of all, there's three of them that you can build on. Your salvation, the day you believed and how you believed. Your baptism. When you got baptized, the pastors probably said words similar to this. Buried in the likeness of his death, which was Jesus Christ. Raised in the likeness of his resurrection. So you identified your life and death and resurrection with Jesus' life and death and resurrection. And then in church membership, when you joined a church, you aligned yourself with fellow believers. Now, does that mean that you're all going to believe the exact same way? If you find somebody that believes the exact same way you do, you'll be the first. Okay? I can put you in a room with 50 pastors and every one of them will believe something different. They all have a different belief because of how God has been in their life. It doesn't make it wrong. It doesn't make it right. And in most cases, it doesn't matter. What you need to do is come together as a body and a group of people who believe the same core principles, align up with it, and go serve the Lord. Do it. You also have your life. As you live it, you will bring glory to the Lord, or you will bring sorrow to the Lord. Your life in itself should be a testimony to the greatness and to the love of Jesus Christ, not to the fact that Jesus can't help you. Now, I have dear friends who still, to this day, are fighting and suffering from cancer. And all I can tell you is this. The only way you beat cancer is through your faith and through your mental attitude. You have to believe that God loves you enough to carry you through it, and to the fact that you, up here, you're not going to quit. You don't quit no matter what. And remember this. The worst that can happen to you is that Jesus takes you home. Which, in a Christian, guess what? That's where we want to go anyway, right? So, you know, devil, what are you going to do? Threaten me with Jesus? What's up with that? You know, we need to realize and get ourselves back to our foundational beliefs that our whole service here on life is to be with the Lord. Some of us are going to get there different ways. But the bottom line is we get there. So rejoice in the fact that God has chosen you to be a testimony and a witness through each and every trial that you go through. The thing I don't want you to be is an excuse. And when I say that, I'll tell you this. My memory, many years in the ministry, I used to be out sharing with people, and I was at my favorite store, Vons. I'd go into Vons, and I'd be there, and somebody go, "Hey, Pastor Wayne, how you doing?" "Doing great, doing great. How's everything?" And I said, "You know, it's going well. I've been here in Anaheim now for almost 50 years, so I know a lot more people than just Christians." And I'd be witnessing and sharing with them. And they said, "Well, you know, I heard so-and-so goes to your church." And I go, "Yes, he does. Yes, she does. Yes, they do." Well, I hate to tell you this, but if that's how a Christian is, I don't want to be one. And then I went, "Oh, there's something I don't know." Well, they didn't tell me what it was, but I just knew this, that if that's the way they are, well, do you want to have that kind of a lifestyle to where somebody thinks of you and you go, "Well, get away, no. I don't want that. I don't want to be that." Folks, I want you to be the type of a Christian. I kind of believe in what they call a lifestyle evangelism. Not only do you get out and preach the word, but you live the word. And you live your life in such a way that people want to know why you're so happy. Why do you have the victory? Why do you get the things you do? Well, I get them because God gives them to me. Because God supplies all my needs. Because God answers my prayers. And that's why. So, don't allow your life to be someone's excuse for not accepting Jesus Christ as Lord. You know this, that even if your life is the best that you can be, not everyone accepts Jesus. Jesus preached the word, and I mean, he was the greatest preacher ever. Did everybody get saved? No. They're going to have those that are going to harden their hearts and are going to reject him. It's not your fault. But just because one person tells you no doesn't mean you stop doing it. You continue on to the next person. Knock the dust off your shoes and keep walking. Keep talking. Keep doing this. And know that Jesus was the only perfect person. He had the best testimony. Though people talked bad about him, they talked in lies. Trust me, as a Christian, they're going to lie about you. Know this. They're going to tell stories about you. Know this. They're going to say things about you that you're going to hate. Know this. But also know this. Whatever they say doesn't affect you in one minute detail, because you have a personal relationship with a man that does know, and his name is Jesus. And don't ever forget that, folks. Always remember, Jesus is on your side. Stay with him, hanging with him, Well, then, with this, I'm going to close. Put yourself to the test today as we leave here, okay? See how long it takes you before you blow it when you leave this service. Okay? Some of you are going to pull out this driveway and somebody's going to cut you off and you're going to do something or you're going to say something and these words are going to echo in your head. Okay? Others are going to go home and something's going to happen and you say, oh, I got to build this or I got to do this, and you're going to hit your thumb with a hammer. How do you respond? Thank you, Jesus, or bleep, 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 bleep. You know? We're all human. We're all imperfect. We all fall short. Just say, Father, forgive me, and continue on. Don't stop. People will provoke you because they know you're a Christian. So remember, this is a test and only a test. I'm not going to hold it against you. Because I know before this day's out, I'm going to have at least three, if not five of those. Because as a pastor, and I want you to know this, please don't put anybody up on a pedestal. They put their pants on the same way you do. They put their shirt on the same way you do. They button their shirt one at a time. Pastors don't do two at a time. They do one at a time, just like you do. They pull over t-shirts. They put on their socks. They tie their shoes. They're just like you. They just have a different position in the Lord at this time. But they're the same thing. They're a human being. So it's not fair to them to put them on a pedestal and think that they can never sin or they can never fall short because they fall short daily. Don't expect more out of your pastor than he's capable of giving you. James 4 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. If you will resist the devil, he'll leave you alone. But too many times, we as Christians think our testimony is so good and so strong, he knocks at our door and we say, come on in for a cup of coffee. I'm going to save you. You're not going to save evil. Evil's going to be there all the time. Stay away from it. Shun it. Resist. Resist diligently, and he will leave you alone. Work on your testimony, work on your walk with the Lord, and try to be the best Christian that you can possibly be. And trust me when I tell you this, when God looks at you, you're going to find out it was enough. Amen? Let's pray. Father, as we come to you, we thank you so much for all that you've given us today. We ask that you just continue to guide us, to bless us, to minister to us, to touch us in our needs, to lift us up where we need lifting up, to carry us through where we need carried through, and above all, just love on us and comfort us and help us to be the best testimony that we can be. And we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.